Let us all say amen.
Amen.
In Titus 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men." Excuse me. And so we know that God's grace has appeared unto all men in the form of Jesus Christ. And if you're here with us this morning and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, then we want you to become a member of the Church of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
What you're experiencing is New Testament worship, where we worship the Lord. Thank the brothers who participated in five acts of worship. We participated in several of them where we've sing praises to God, offered a spiritual sacrifice to God in our praises. We've taken up the Lord's Supper. We've given back a portion of that God has blessed us with. We also had the prayer. Thank for everyone that participated. And also we have the apostles' doctrines and teaching of the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so if you're here this morning, I know for you, but for me, this has been a trying week for me. You know, some weeks it's just a trying week. And this week was, for whatever reason, it was a very difficult a week for me. And, you get into your comfort zone. I think my daughter said to me this week, sometimes, Daddy, you got to just get out of your comfort zone. Yeah, and so I was out of mine this week. And so what I'm saying that to say is that that made me look even more forward to today. Yeah. And so I realized that we have to understand that when you come to worship service on Sunday, what you're actually doing is you're coming to refill your gas tank. Amen. Yeah, so my tank was running near on E. Amen, somebody. And so I was just glad to pull up in to the service station. Yeah, so I can get now. Now, let me say this here. In order to put gas in the car, you got to take the cap off.
Amen.
Yeah, you got to take the cap off. Yeah. James said that we got to lay aside some stuff, James 1:21. We got to lay aside some stuff, he said, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. So I got to understand that the word of God is that fuel that I need. Now, also understand, sometimes you pull up in the service station and your car knocking, your brakes won't work good, but you still got to pull up in there. Amen. And so what I'm saying to all of us this time, don't worry about the car knocking. Don't worry about the brakes not working as well. All you want is gas in the tank. Yeah, because if you don't have no gas in the tank, the car ain't going to move. Yeah, so hopefully this morning. And I want to say this here. Sometimes, I think me and Brother Brooks had a good conversation this week. We've been talking just about daily, and they've had seven baptisms up in New York the last I talked to him, and things are going well there. So let's keep him in prayer and his wife. But sometimes, last week we spoke about oftentimes me and Brother Brooks will collaborate on things that I may preach. And last week we talked about Brother Stroud. Why don't we talk about sacrificing? And so we did that on last week. And he said, also, remember we talking about prayer and fasting. And so we did that. So I said, what about this week on the Calvary? He said, Brother Stroud, he said, why don't you just preach what you want to preach? Yeah, he said, just preach what you want to preach. And so what I've learned as a preacher, and I'm saying this to all of us, oftentimes, people don't sometimes realize that preachers struggle too. Yeah, we have challenges too. We have challenges too. So I said this morning, how can I bless? If you are not a Christian, we want you to be a Christian, and I'm going to share with you what you need to do to become a Christian. But I'll also talk about some struggles you got, because I want to talk to us this morning about some struggles we got.
Amen.
Yet the Bible clearly says that Paul identified struggles we have that we have to identify. So I looked at how can I bless this congregation Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon with the Word of God and preach from the text and help people to understand what we're going through. And so I want to preach from the subject. I want all of us to know, but sin that dwelleth in me. Yeah, we all got it. It's in us. Yeah. And I'm going to go back and knock on some of our doors this morning. But I want to talk to us from the text where Paul talks about, and I want you to understand that oftentimes in the Word of God, when something is repeated twice, that puts double emphasis on it. Like when Jesus would say, verily, verily, he was saying, truly, truly. And so I want us to see in the text this morning, and I hope that I can bless you with what I also tried to bless myself with. I think this text that I'm looking at, when me and Sister Stroud went to East Texas, I think we got up that morning, and that was one of the texts that we studied. Romans 7:22, it's in the text here. I'm trying to help you as I try to help myself. Yeah, I got to try to live as a Christian. I have challenges. I have struggles. So why don't you preach to people what you preach to yourself? Amen, amen somebody. Amen. So Paul said in his letter to the Romans, Brother Oles, in verse number 15, he said, for what?
For that which I do, I allow not.
Uh-huh.
For what I would, that do I not.
Mm-hmm.
But what I hate, that do I.
Yeah. Paul said, now, for that which I know not, he said, for what I would do, that do I not. In other words, what I want to do, I don't do. But understand this here. Paul said as a Christian, but what I hate, that I do. Yeah, the word hate in the text means those things that I dislike. There are things that we don't like to do as Christians, but we end up doing. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, because I'm going to let you know sin dwells in you too.
Amen.
Yeah, you can say it. No, yes, it is. It's in the text. Yeah, so Paul said here, the stuff that I want to do, I don't do, but that stuff that I hate, it's some things as a Christian that we know we don't like, but we end up doing. Yeah. How many of us continually do things that are wrong that we don't like and we do it over and over again? Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to do it, but you end up doing it. And then Paul said, if then
I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good.
Now, he said, Paul said, but if I do stuff that I would not do, I still got to understand that the law of God is good. The word of God is good. Even when I do wrong, the word of God is still, the law of God is still good. Paul said, now then.
It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
That's the text. Paul said, I got to recognize, he said, now then, it is no more I that's doing this, but it's sin that dwelleth in me. And I want to say to all of us got sin in us. Yeah. And the word dwelleth, the Bible in the New Testament was written in Greek, and the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. So oftentimes when they did the translation, they would try to find a word that would best associate or be as close to what they're trying to say. So they use the word dwell, and dwell is someplace where you live. Mm. Yeah, your dwelling place. So Paul says to all of us, understand this, sin lives in you. Yeah, yeah. Paul says, in me. And it's in you. Yeah. Yeah. I got sin in me. You got sin in you. Yeah. For I know that in me,
that is, in my flesh,
yeah,
dwelleth no good thing.
Mm-hmm.
For to will is present with me,
mm-hmm,
but how to perform that which is good, I find not.
And Paul said this. He said, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. In your flesh dwelleth no good thing. He said, for to will or the will of God, he said, even though it's present or near me, how to do that which is good, I can't do. Some of us as Christians, we just continuously struggle and struggle and struggle. That's what Paul was saying. And it's because of my flesh. Yeah. He said, for I know that in my flesh dwelleth ain't nothing good in my flesh. He said, but now there's a will of God that's near me, but how to accomplish or do that which I want to do, I can't do. So then the question is, what is the flesh? Yeah. I know sometimes we think that the flesh is where you say flesh is my skin. Ain't your skin. Ain't your skin. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the flesh is my body. Ain't your body. That ain't your flesh. Yeah. Well, what is my flesh, Brother Stroud? Romans chapter 7 and verse number 5. Because I think if we open up what's going on, what's inside of us, we can see clearly what we are facing. So in Romans chapter 7, Paul spoke about the flesh. So what is the flesh? Paul says it in verse number 5 of Romans 7. Read.
For when we were in the flesh,
read,
the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death.
Yeah. Now Paul said, watch this. He said, for when we were in the flesh. Now, the flesh ain't the flesh. The flesh is you before you became a Christian. Yeah. Some people use big words, said it is the unregenerated state of a person. Meaning before you was converted, before you became a Christian, that's your flesh. So all the stuff you did before you became a Christian, that's your flesh. Yeah, that's your flesh. Yeah. And Paul said, the motions of sin. And see, they use the word motion because what Paul was trying to tell them is we have strong feelings in us that cause us to move and to do sin. So the flesh is, I have motions in me. I have desires in me that when I was out there in the world, they would move me. It was easy for me. Yeah. You know, when I was out there in the world, lying is easy. Get from me Ephesians chapter 4. Let me show you in the Bible. Yeah, when you're out there in the world, stealing was easy for some of us. Cussing. Yeah. And some of us, even today, we still lie, we continue to steal, and we cuss. Yeah. But I'm going to show you what the law of God says concerning all three of them. Yeah. So see, I can come. See, understand this here. Some of us come to church because it's compulsive. What do you mean, Brother Stroud? Some of us, we ain't got nothing. We don't know nothing else to do on Sunday morning but to get up and come up in here. And when we leave out in here, we don't remember nothing.
Amen.
But Paul said, first of all, brother, let me get over here with you. Dealing with lying, Ephesians 4, about verse 25. What it say?
Wherefore, putting away lying,
yeah,
speak every man truth with his neighbor.
Yeah.
For we are members one of another.
Yeah. Now, so first of all, if you, now understand this here. When I was in the world, I told lies. Some of you told lies. All of us may say we lie. If you say you ain't never lied, you lying now. Yeah. You tell somebody you ain't never lied, you lying now. Yeah. So we used to lie. That's the flesh. I used to tell lies. It wasn't nothing for me to lie. Sometimes you lie so much, you lie to yourself. And then some of us, you get caught up in the lie you told because somebody catches you. You have to change the lie. And the lie don't fit. And then somebody say, well, you told so-and-so. You know, I sure did. But Paul says, and I'm talking about us, the flesh. He says, those of us that lie, let me get that with you. He said, one of the things is, as a Christian, at some point in time, I got to get to the point that I say, you know what? I ain't going to never lie no more. I don't care if it hurt me. You know, sometimes telling the truth will get you in trouble. But I'd rather tell the truth than the lie. Yeah. And sometimes, let me say this here. Sometimes for some of us, we allow pressure to make us lie. And sometimes we lie and you don't even have to lie. But Paul said, when you're in your flesh, he said, and that's why Paul was identifying behavior that they had. He said, one of the things, he said, wherefore, put away lying. How do you stop lying? Just tell the truth. Ain't hard. You ain't got to go to school to learn it. Amen. You ain't got to go see the doctor. Doctor, I got trouble with lying. Stop it. Give me $25. Because you know you go there, they're going to charge you for something. Put in your copay. Yeah. So how do I stop lying? Just tell the truth. But not only that, some of us, we steal. Verse 28.
Let him that stole steal no more.
Yeah.
But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that need it.
Yeah. Some of us used to steal. Some of us still steal. Amen. Not just because you say amen. You amen to the word, not because you did it. Yeah, some people like it. Yeah. But Paul says, understand this here. Whenever you take something that don't belong to you, let me say this sometimes, because sometimes we try to be technical with stuff. If you take something and the person didn't give you permission to take it, you are. Yeah, because some people say, well, he wouldn't have mine. That ain't the problem. The problem is you took something that don't belong to you. That is stealing. Yeah. Yeah. While I'm there, some of us, we can steal from the Lord. If we don't give back to the Lord what we've earned during the week, a portion of that. Brother just said, it is more blessed to
give.
Yeah. Amen. So you can still, and I think people go to Malachi. I know when I was going to the denomination, they say, should a man rob God? You rob me. Malachi, y'all know that. Your denomination people, y'all know that real strong. Yeah. But you can steal from God by not giving back to God. But that's not my point. The point is that we can steal. But also, verse 29 lets us know something else. We can curse. He said, let no what?
Corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
But that?
Which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
Yeah. If you curse, that's a fleshly behavior. And some of us, we curse and you only mean to curse. And we say, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. But it's in your flesh. It is in your nature to cuss when you get upset. Let somebody hit someone in a four-letter word come out your mouth. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Why? And I'm saying it's just reactionary because you used to cussing. Yeah. Some of you get mad at each other and start cursing. Yeah. And sometimes you be going outside and if people are too close to you, you look back to see if somebody catch you. It's in you. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm just telling us what the flesh is in us.
Amen.
You bring to the Lord what you were in the world. And what it was, what it came off? Okay, I'll pick it up. I'll find it. You see it? Get it. Y'all see it? Come on, pick it up, my brother. Thank you, my brother. Alan, tell me I see it. They ain't doing me no good. Yeah. Amen, somebody. So what I'm saying is that even though, and this is what we sometimes miss, even though you are water baptized for the remission of your sins, you are a Christian. But if I was lying, if I was cheating, if I was stealing, even though I get up out of water, that don't stop. Yeah, just because you got baptized. Because it is in your flesh. And your flesh, Paul said, moves you to do that which is wrong. And so, and some of us, we've been the Lord for years, and we are still on the fleshly side. We're still fleshly. Yeah, we are not spiritual yet. I'm going to deal with that more this afternoon. But now, watch what Peter said, 1 Peter 4, talking about the flesh. So I want to understand, the flesh ain't your skin. The flesh is a part of you before you became a Christian. And the Bible says the motions of sin, whatever that is in you, you still do it. And Peter gives us in 1 Peter 4, he talks about, beginning at verse number 2, Peter begins to open up the flesh. What he said, that he no longer
should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God.
Now, what Peter said, that got to come a time. I was talking to a brother last week. I think me and Brother Grimes were talking. And he was saying, Brother Stroud, we got in a conversation. I said, Brother Grimes, let me just tell you something here. I say, life is two parts. I said, one part of your life you live learning, and the other part you live what you learn. That'll catch up with you get to the car. Yeah. So Peter was saying to all of us, it's got to come a time that you no longer live the rest of your time in the what?
Flesh.
Yeah. To the lust of men. Yeah. You a Christian now. Peter was telling them, when are you going to stop living like those people in the world? Mm. Yeah. Peter said, when are you going to start living the will of God and not the lust of men? When are you going to stop letting your desire drive you?
Right.
When? Because he said that he no longer, I got to stop. You need to stop. Stop letting your flesh, stop letting your desire lead you. He said, for the time passed, it should have passed, read.
Of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries.
You good, my brother. So Peter said this here. There got to come a time, that's why I tell me and Brother Graham were talking. There got to come a time when that stuff that you used to do is in your past life, not in your current life. Yeah. He said, for the time and past of our life, the word suffice means to satisfy a need. When you had a need to get out there and you worked the will of the Gentiles. Yeah. You know, Gentiles, it seemed like the Gentiles, you know, they were down on Gentiles. Yeah, because Gentiles had a behavior. You know, I was studying this lesson. I saw that they are changing now that they were saying that ghetto now is a behavior. It ain't a place no more. They didn't change it. You know, some people say, you got ghetto. Yeah. It's ghetto behavior. Yeah. Now, my wife taught me this a long time ago. She said there's a difference between being from the hood and being from the ghetto. Yeah. Yeah. The hood comes from a neighborhood. But when you ghetto, yeah. And even in the church, some of us have behaviors that just ghetto. You do stuff. And it's all about you. And you don't care about nobody else. That's ghetto. Yeah. Yeah. It's all about you. You don't care about nobody else. Yeah. And I was studying it. It said ghetto behavior. Yeah. So what Paul was telling them, looked like he was talking about the Gentile behavior. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 6? He said, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall wear. So I look at it, the ghetto behavior is all about me. Mm. What I can buy, what I can drink, what I can wear, that's all about me. Well, Peter said to them that when you walked, watch what he said. For the time past of our life may have sufficed us to have, the word wrought mean to work. Mm-hmm. Notice you was doing the will of the Gentile. When you walk in lasciviousness, in lust, in excessive wine, reveling, banqueting, and banqueting, and abominable, say it, Brother Oz.
Abominable.
Idolatrous. Thank you, my brother. Understand this here. The word lasciviousness means you live a life with no restraint. Some of us, when we were in the world, we have no restraints. Yeah. I found this about young people. Young people want to get up out of the house because they don't want no restraints. Yeah, because rules put on. Yeah. So when I want to do what I want to do, I become lascivious in my mind that I don't want no restraints. And what lascivious mean, you were apt that the word restraint wasn't even near you. And some of us, when we were in the world, we were lascivious in our behavior. We did whatever we want to do. Now, the thing, good thing Peter does, Peter started talking about what we used to do in the world. Because Peter says here, when you were out there, he said you had desires. Then he said excess of wine, meaning you used to get drunk. Yeah, yeah. And you drunk till you just, yeah. Somebody ought to say amen. Let's just say amen to the word. Amen.
Amen,
amen, Brother Stroud.
Amen.
So watch this. I'm out there in the world, and I used to drink till I got
drunk.
Yeah. I'm in the church, but the behavior hadn't changed. And it ain't going away just because Jesus forgive me of it. It's in my flesh. It's in me to get with the fellas and go out and start drinking, partying, and chasing. It's in my nature. And the sad thing, some of you sisters marry him, and he's still chasing in his mind. Let me break that down a little bit. Y'all got this, everybody stood up then. What I'm saying is here. Let me help sisters out, young people out for y'all. I know several of us, we got our young people that's engaged and about to get married, and brother, we're doing counseling with you. Yeah, let me just give you some stuff from 101, Stroud 101 right here. Yeah. Understand this here. If you dating him, and you ready to marry him, and you are talking to him, and a sister walk by. Yeah, y'all with me now. And if his eyes follow her, and sometimes ain't no sin to follow her, but now, if his eyes go downtown, instead of staying, he ain't ready to be.
Amen.
I'm trying to help you. Because if his eyes are wonder when he with you, think what he'll do when you ain't with him. Yeah. Yeah. See how we haven't met, Yeah. And watch this here now. Now, I'm saying this, I'm just helping us here. I'm alone this here. I may as well while I'm here. Yeah. Yeah, and understand this here. If he ain't faithful to you and you all are engaged, what makes you think he just going to automatically become faithful because you marry him?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. So now I'm not saying don't get married. I say he ain't ready. Now, understand this here, because some of us are married to people that they were having issues when we married them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So all you can do now is get counseling on how to work through the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because sometimes, I know when you're young, you marry because you looking for something, and they looking for something, and you get married, but you still have issues that you haven't ironed out. Yeah, and that's why we now want our young people to go through counseling. Because sometimes you find out that a person ain't ready to marry. You see, sometimes you find that, and this happened, you find people get married, and I know down the road, you find a year later, some day, and you find out, wait, y'all ain't? You mean to say y'all ain't got? And so he ain't staying with you? Y'all ain't? You should have listened. when you got that counseling. You ain't listening. Yeah. And it ain't because, don't worry about it because he made good money.
Right.
Yeah. Because anybody get fired from a job. Don't worry because he got no good money.
Amen.
Yeah. But you need to understand, what you need to make sure you're marrying a Christian.
Amen.
Yeah. And make sure, let me just say this while I'm here. Make sure he loved the Lord more than you. Because if he loved the Lord more than you, he going to be faithful to the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. And then if he loved the Lord going to teach him how to be a good husband, how to be a good father, and all that stuff.
Amen.
Let me move away from there because y'all don't like me to stay there too long. But I was by that. You know, sometimes we don't, you know, we let our young people grow up and they grow up and go do all that stuff. And it's the responsibility of the pulpit to teach you how to live in all areas of your life. Yeah, all areas of your life. And so I'm saying sometimes you make a mistake and then the mistake is too late. You and the Lord and you done made a mistake, but you should, I'm saying to all of us, Brother Brooks is doing counseling with several of our young people, that you need counseling before. Amen.
Amen.
But the point I was making is that what Paul was saying, back to Peter, a point, that you have this fleshly side of you. And some of it, Peter mentions you were drinking. And then some of us just like the banqueting and reveling. You like the party. Yeah. And I said this here. It's sometimes how when you was in the world, you wouldn't miss no parties. But you get a cough in your throat and you won't come to worship service. Yeah. You go out partying half dead. Amen, somebody. Because, and I'm going to show you in the check, because of the fact you enjoy doing it. Let me get to my text. Let me show you this. Go back to Romans 7. Let me show you this. Romans 7. I was on verse 19. I'm going to show you why. Verse 19. For the good
that I would, I do not.
Mm-hmm.
But the evil which I would not, that I do.
Now, Paul said, going back, he said, for the good that I would, I don't do it. But I got evil in me. In other words, the word evil in the text means morally bad desires. Or we got stuff in us that's evil. Paul said this here. He said, for the good I would do, I don't do. But the stuff I don't want to do, he said, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not,
it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
That a word to go again. He said it twice. He said, now, if I do that which I would not, it's no more I that do it, but the problem I got is sin that's dwelling in me. Then he said this, I find in the law
that when I would do good,
yeah,
evil is present with me.
Paul said, now there's a law, the law of God, that when I would do good, Paul says that evil or bad stuff is present in me. Let me ask you a question. I want everybody to take this. This is a spiritual test. You take it and you're going to answer yourself, hold your answer to yourself. Think of a food. Think of a food that brings you great pleasure or enjoyment. Think of a food that brings you great pleasure or enjoyment. And if there were no consequences to eating it, you would have it every day. Now, I'm saying some people... I know, and I do this, I don't know my seniors, the Sam's call on this here. But what I asked him out to do, what's Sister Lewis? Sister Lewis, you in here? Where's she at? Right there. Sister Lewis, just you. You ain't got to look around. She's like, who is it? You, Sister Lewis. She's looking around like, who? That's you, Sister Lewis. But now what I do for the Sam's, I have an agreement with my wife that every fifth Sunday, she's going to do something for the Sam's, or sweet, because Sam's loves, y'all to say amen, Sam's.
Amen.
They love sweets. And it's like little children when they come to sweets. Give me some, give me some. Sit down. Because they'll be following you. And some of the Sam, I know you all, I ain't gonna call no name, brother guy, but some people will get, they will get two desserts. Talking about this for my wife. That ain't for your wife, man. No, I'm saying, because one time I had to catch him, that his wife don't even eat what we gave. He wanted two of them. So I asked my wife, every time we have Fifth Sunday, I said, Sister Stroud, do something for the Sams, and it's my way of just giving back to them. Appreciating them, but also giving them something. So where I'm going, I've asked you to think of something that if it was no health reason, some people, I can't have that because I may be diabetic, I can't have this because of cholesterol or something else, I won't eat it, but I can't have it. Make sense? But if you could, you would eat it every day. Those that would, if they could have it every day and they have to pay for it, it came free and there was no consequences to it, would have it every day, say amen. Amen. Every day. Every day. Without, you'll have it every day. And watch this here. I'm going to show you something spiritual right now. Right there. Verse number 22.
For I delight in the law of God after the inward man.
Yeah. Now, watch this here. Reason why I ask you that. The word delight in that text that Paul used, by definition, it means something that brings great pleasure or satisfaction. Where are you going with this, Brother Stroud? If the law of God brought you the same pleasure that you just thought about, you'll have it every day.
Amen.
Yeah, you caught yourself in it. Yeah. Yeah. Paul said, for I delight. In other words, Paul said, I get great pleasure and satisfaction from the law of God. Amen. And then he says, because, let me get back to the text. He says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. See, what you got to do is, remember I talk about the flesh is your inward person. So you got to feed it something to control that fleshly side. It's the law of God. And so I'm saying now, if I say I delight in the law of God, I say it, but now I just ask you all, if it was something you could have every day and it wasn't no cost, would you have it? You said amen.
Amen.
Right. If that be the case, we need to build ourselves up that we have a desire like Paul had, that I find delight in the law of God. I get it every day, morning, noon, whenever I can.
Amen.
To bust out. The problem is, with Christians, we got to become more spiritual.
Amen.
That's the problem. Bust out. Give me some prescription for that. 1 Peter 2, 2. Yeah. So if I'm one that I'm not, the word of God is not there yet, how do I get there? In 1 Peter 2 and verse number 2, Peter says what?
As newborn babes,
yeah,
desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby.
See, the issue is this. Understand this here. Now, Peter wasn't talking to babes. Because he said, as a newborn babe, he said, as a Christian, you got to desire the sincere milk of the word in order to grow. Now, understand this here. I've learned this here. You can have a baby, and a baby is supposed to have a desire for milk. But when I know mothers, you know that baby is sick when they won't take milk. You know something wrong with them. Understand this. As a Christian, you can be in the Lord's church and don't have a desire for the word of God. See, he said as a newborn babe, some of us don't have a desire for the word of God, but we have desires for other stuff. So he says, as a newborn babe, you gotta have a desire for spiritual milk. You got that food that you just said I would have every day. Well, let it be spiritual milk. Well, how often, Brother Stroud? How often? Yeah. Get from Acts 17:11. As you turn there, to grow up to be a spiritual Christian, you must have spiritual milk in your regular spiritual diet. Yeah. See how often, Brother Stroud? Acts 17 and verse number 11. What did you say?
These were more noble than those in Thessalonica,
uh-huh,
in that they received the word with all readiness of mind.
Read.
And searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so.
Yeah. Now watch this here. Paul identified a group of Christians. And now you can test yourself. He said these were more noble than them, those Christians in Thessalonica, and that they received the word of God. The word readiness means on Sunday morning, I'm excited and interested in what's going to be preached. That's what that word readiness means. So if I came here this morning and I wasn't excited to hear the word of God, and sometimes, let me just say this here while I'm going across this territory. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll get locked into people. Yeah. If so-and-so ain't here, then I ain't coming to church. Yeah. Yeah. I'll talk about that tonight, because you got to understand that whoever preaches the word of God, that's Jesus talking to you. Yeah. But when I come to service, that's the preparation. When I come in, my mind says, see, I can't stay out there in the car listening to that boom, boom, bop, bop stuff and don't think, because some of y'all come in here, y'all still be jumping when you get up in here. Yeah, check the yams out. They still be hopping when they get up in here. Yeah, because that's what they were listening to last. Yeah. Luke said in Acts 17 that not only that they have a desire to hear the word of God, but these people search the scriptures how often?
Daily.
Yeah. Yeah. In other words, the word search here means to try to get information about spiritual things, to investigate. So you got to go in and study the word of God every day. Every day. Remember I asked you, and you all set yourselves up. You said if you could have that food every day, you would enjoy it. So I got to, and understand this here, as a newborn babe that desire, Paul Peter used a physical example. He knew that if a baby was healthy, they was going to get milk from their mother. He knew that. Well, as a spiritual Christian, I got to desire that same milk. If I'm not getting the milk every day, I'm not, spiritually, I'm not on a regular, healthy spiritual diet. And we wondered why the flesh raised up, because remember, Paul said, the law of God after the inward man. Understand this here. Tim taught me this here. Tim, you help me if I missed this wrong. You told me, you said, and I think, let me just say this here, because I'm saying, older people used to say this here. Older people say, well, girl, you better let him get it out of him. Y'all never heard that before? See, if it's in him, you got to let him get it out. Let him get it out. Let him get it out of him. You know, you see a little kid around there dancing and partying and all that. Let him get it out of him. Yeah, that's what they used to say by then. See, now, what's happening is that Tim taught me this. See, Tim, remember you was over the house one day. You told me, you said, Brother Stroud, let me see if I got this right. You said to me, I said, but Tim, if I leave the door open, I'm letting the air out. He said, no, that's not what's happening. What you're doing is letting heat. Yeah. Let me help y'all with that spiritually. Am I right, Tim? Because I said, Tim, I got to close the door because I'm letting the air out. He said, Pastor, you ain't letting it out. You letting heat. What I'm saying to all of us is for some of us, we've let stuff in. Yeah. And you can't get it out. Because it's in you. But what you can do through the word of God, you can control it. Yeah. Yeah. So what you can do is close the door on some of that stuff. Yeah. That fleshly behavior, you got to close the door. Yeah, because, and some of us still in the church, we still letting heat in. you still doing stuff that's ungodly, that's not like a Christian. Yeah, that's why in Titus 2, he said, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. You got to stop doing that ungodly stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So it ain't the fact that you letting stuff out, it's you letting stuff in. And let me say this to young people. Now, I got to say this. You know, nowadays, they're raising up children. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. And children are now growing up, and they say, I don't know what I am. Y'all heard that before? They're in school now. I don't know what I am. And the parents say, well, whatever he want to be, or whatever she want to be. But I know when I was growing up, if you was a boy, you're going to have, we talked about this in class the other day, you would generally get two things. You would start with army men. Y'all remember that? Mm-hmm. You had army men. And then when you got old enough, if you could afford it, you would get you one of them electric football games. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
You put that little cotton under that guy's arm. Come on, say amen if y'all know
amen.
What I'm talking about.
Amen.
Yeah, and you turn that machine on, and that guy start vibrating, and you hope he go down there to that goal. Touchdown. Yeah, and whoever your favorite team was.
Yeah,
that's Bob Hayes going down that road. Yeah, but back then, mothers and mothers knew, because most times it was mothers. A husband, just oftentimes you just there. Yeah, I'm serious. Oftentimes, men are just there. Now we're teaching men to be more responsible and take some of the weight off of your wife. I told my wife yesterday, we went to the store. I said, sister, let me tell you something. Two things I want you to never do no more. And she right there, y'all check what you want to. I said, I don't ever want you to put gas in your car no more because it's too unsafe to be going, a woman stopping, filling up the gas car. Second thing, we got up yesterday morning, and I said, well, babe, I'm going to get some waters. I said, no, I was getting ready to study my lesson. She said, I'm going to get some waters. Randall's got them on sale, $5 for $10. You do that. Yeah. So she said, well, I'm going to get some waters. I said, no, you ain't going by yourself. I said, you ain't going to be lifting no waters by yourself. I'm trying to preserve you. Yeah. You see what I'm saying, Q? Yeah. I said, I don't ever want you lifting no waters. Now I said, if you can't have me with you, don't buy no waters. I don't want you. I mean, man, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And some of you guys, y'all, you need to repent. You let your wife come in with 48 water. And then she can't get up the next morning because her back hurt, and you know why. Amen. But I told her, I said, no, sister, I don't want you to do that no more. Don't you ever lift no waters no more. See, if I ain't with you to buy them, don't buy them. Yeah. Amen. So I'm just saying that the things that you did, but back to my point, boys grew up to be from boys to, yeah. And back there, women, little girls, they were taught to go put on their mama high heel shoes and the oversized dresses, but they was taught to be a lady. Yeah. And what I'm saying that in us, children have desires too. And children are experimentally, they like to experiment. And so you got children come a day and they want to test the waters. You know what I'm saying? And back then, you had parents that made you stay on the side of the water you need to be on. Yeah. And I'm telling the parents, we got to watch our children. Watch our children. And then what happens is, watch this here. Once the child flip, now you support the behavior. Yeah, think about some of these celebrities now. Now they for that stuff. Yeah. And we crazy enough to think because they're a celebrity and they support it, that make it right. No, it's still sin. It's still sin. Yeah, we got to teach our children right. But when you don't have no restraint, no restraint. Thank you, brother. Now, see, you're on your job now. Leah, Brother Allen said, you ain't gonna give me no more, Brother Stroud. Let me put this down. I'll just preach like this. I'll pick it up when I finish. Yeah. So, what's the answer to the question? Let's go back to the Word of God. So, we all got stuff in us that, how do I become again? I gotta make the Word of God part of my regular spiritual diet. How often, Brother Stroud? All I can share with you is that I got a text that they did a scripture. Oh, man, my time is gone. Go to 7:23. I got to close this out. Oh, man, my time is gone. Woo! My time is gone. Verse 23. Let me drop this and turn this out. Verse 23. What read chapter? 23 through 25, and I'm closing.
What chapter?
Yeah, Romans 7. I'm sorry. Verse 23 through 25. Let me drop this and, oh, man, I apologize. My time, I didn't look up at the clock.
But yeah. I see another law in my members,
yeah,
warring against the law of my mind,
yeah,
and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which,
yeah,
is in my members.
Yeah.
O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
But I thank God.
Through Jesus Christ,
yeah,
our Lord. So then with the mind I might myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin.
Let me wrap this up right quick. I apologize. I didn't see my time. Paul said... Now, remember now, you got the law of God. Amen? Mm-hmm. You got the Word of God. That's one law. Now, watch this here. He said, but I see another law in my members. Now, this law here, let me help us with this here. When he said the word law, what he meant was they used the word law because this is something that was going to influence your behavior. So these are thoughts in each of us that influence us into acting in a sinful way. He said, I see another law. Notice, it's in my members. Yeah, you know, you got members. All of us got members. Remember we used to sing this song? We say, be careful, little hands, what you
touch.
Be careful, little feet, where you
go.
Be careful, little eyes, what you
see.
Yeah, because the Father up above is looking down. Be careful, little, what, yeah. So understand, the members are parts of your body that allows you to sin. Paul said that I got the law of God in me. But I see another law in me. This is the law. He said it's called the law of sin. Involved in any of us, we can put the law of God in us, but also understand you got the law of sin in you. It came with you because you're fleshly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Paul said here, and that law of that's in my members, I'm going to put it on the left side, that's in my body, my hands, my eyes. See, sometimes we need to stop looking at stuff that's not appropriate. Amen. We need to start touching stuff that's not appropriate. Those are my members. Yeah, and it's another law, Paul said, and this law war against the law of my mind, which is the law of God. Watch what it does. It brings me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members.
Mm.
So both of us, all of us, you got the law of God that you can go and put in you every day, but you also have the law of sin, which is that fleshly side. And Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. In other words, as a Christian, the word wretched here means miserable or very unhappy. He said, for some of us, we are unhappy as a Christian because the law of sin is overriding the law of God. And remember, it's your responsibility to control that law of sin. You got to control your nature. You got to control the fleshly side of you. You do it with the law of God.
Amen.
And Paul said, as I close, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now watch what he says. So with my mind, see, if we use our mind, we can serve the law of God. But watch what he says here. But with the flesh, the law of sin. And each of us, but sin dwelleth in me. All of us have that fleshly person in us that's not converted, that's not spiritual. But we have the law of God that can help us. and this evening you come back tonight, I'm encouraging us to come back tonight, I'm going to answer and open up how do we address it. I identified how you become more spiritual through studying the Word of God, but I'm going to open up from the Word of God what God say, how do you address it and rid yourself. But if you're here tonight or this morning and you're not a Christian, Romans 1:16, Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So the gospel of Christ is an understanding. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you need to understand that Jesus, God loved you enough, John 3:16, that Jesus Christ came down and he died for all that fleshly side of you that's in you now. Yeah, Jesus had to die because you were fleshly and because you did whatever you wanted to do and you had sin in you. Yeah, so Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again the third day. That's called the gospel. And then the Bible tells us in Romans 5:6, "For when you were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." So you need to realize that Christ died for you. The Bible says, "But God," verse 8 of Romans 5, "but God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So you need to know that Christ died for you. So what I need to do, Brother Stroud, Romans 6:1-4, Paul said, "For what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" No, you don't continue in sin. He said, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer?" Jesus died for sin. You need to die to sin. How do I do it, Brother Stroud? He said, "No, you're not. That so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into death." How do I rid myself of these sins? How do I get rid of them? Initially, the Bible tells us, I hear the gospel, I believe the gospel, I repent of my sins, I turn from the life that I'm living, I turn to Christ, I make the confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, what I just said. Then you're water baptized for the remission of sin. And verse 4 says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so you should now walk in newness of life." Now you're a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ, Romans 16:16. There's someone today that would like to respond to the message in any form or way. We bid you to come, and together we stand and sing a verse over here.